Would you take your Bible and turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Marvelous passage of scripture about the resurrection, the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ over death. Beginning in there in verse 51. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The great victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, He is alive. He is alive. That morning, as Mary and the other women made their way through the darkness of the pre-dawn time, going to the tomb to continue to put spices upon the body of their Lord, hoping that somebody would roll away the stone. When they got there, the stone was gone. Sitting on the stone were two angels. They said, "Behold, he is not here. He is alive." They didn't roll away the stone so he could get out. They rolled away the stone so that Mary and the others could see it was empty. We like the Resurrection Sunday. We like to think about Easter, the resurrection. Back in the book of Job, earliest book in the Bible, Job said, "If a man die, shall he live again?" Then he answered his own question. "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. Mine eyes shall behold, not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Isn't that amazing? Thousands of years before the Lord Jesus Christ came and died upon the cross and rose from the grave, there was at least one man in the Old Testament who knew and understood and believed with all of his heart that there would be victory over death. Notice again what that man said. "Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. With my eyes I shall see for myself, though my body has been consumed." Think of the vibrant faith of that man Job thousands of years before Christ came. We like to think about the resurrection. Prayer time a while ago, there were a number of prayers, requests mentioned people suffering with cancer. We all are aware that there is ahead for each one of us that experience called death. So we like to find comfort in the resurrection, and we well should. But before there could be a resurrection, there had to be a cross. In Matthew chapter 16, after Jesus had questioned his disciples about whom do men say that I am, and then he said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter had said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then it says there in Matthew 16, verse 21, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem, how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Peter rose up and said, not so, my Lord. We'll never let that happen. Many of us are like Peter. We don't want to think of a death, a crucifixion. We'd rather think about the empty tomb. Jesus said to Simon Peter, get behind me, Satan. Because you savor the things, you like the things of man, not the things of God. And then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What will a man give? What will a man be profited if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul? That's a good question for you to answer, isn't it? As we contemplate and think about the resurrection, understand that there are two events that have to be considered this morning. First of all is the event of the cross. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. We have to think about death before we can think about life. You have to think about what's important to you. What would you be profited if you shall gain the whole world but lose your own soul? You have to consider the question. Notice there in Hebrews chapter 2, the Word of God tells us, beginning in verse 14, for as much then as the children, that's you and that's me, are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise also himself, that speaking of God, took part of the same, that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Easter, we need to think about the devil. We need to think about what brings about death. The devil's the one who causes death. Those of you who are struggling with that, those illnesses that look like they could end in death quicker than you would like, the devil's responsible for death. But Jesus came to destroy the devil and the power that he has over death. It goes on to say in the next verse, verse 15, and deliver them through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, he took not upon himself the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And so Jesus Christ came for the purpose of destroying the devil and his power over death. And though Simon Peter responded to the Lord there in Caesarea Philippi, "Don't want you to die," Jesus came to die. At that point in his life, Simon Peter could not comprehend. He could not understand. It was not till later. Simon Peter, after the cross and after the empty tomb, stood at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came to fill him and the others and put them together into the body, the new body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon Peter, then understanding, stood up and preached to those that were there that day. And this is a part of what he said. He said, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then he said, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and with your wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death." You see, Peter now could stand and say, "I understand the necessity of the cross, the necessity of his death upon the cross, because it was to defeat the devil, to pay for my sins." And so we then can come to 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, victory in Jesus. Oh, grave, where is your victory? Jesus has taken it away. Now we can come to see about after the empty tomb. There's some things that you need to understand as we think about the empty tomb this morning, about what happens now. Some of you may not be frequently Sunday by Sunday in church. I'm glad you're here. The same thing applies to those who may only come infrequently and those who come every Sunday. Question is, what happens now after Easter? What happens now after the resurrection? What happens to you? There's some things that you need to think about. First of all, there are some things that you have no choice about whether or not they shall happen. They are settled. You'll notice there in the outline, hell is real, and it speaks forever. Now, I know somebody may say, "I don't believe that." My dear friend, it doesn't really matter whether you believe it or not. Hell is real, and it's fixed forever. You can't change it any more than you can go up to the top of the steeple on this building and step off of it and fly. You can't do that. There's a law called gravity that's going to pull you down to the ground, whether you agree with it or not. There's some in here subject more of it to than others, because there's a little bit more mass contained in some. But hell is fixed and is real, and you can't change it. Second reality is that heaven is real. Praise God. Amen. Heaven is real. And this speaks forever. But there's a third thing that you need to think about this morning. That is that Satan was forever totally defeated at the cross. Did you understand what we read in Hebrews chapter 2? Jesus came to destroy the devil. You may say, "Well, I don't really believe in a personal devil." Again, whether or not you believe it or not does not change the reality. You can reject the idea of a literal hell and will not change it at all. You can reject the idea of a literal heaven and it won't change it. You can reject the idea of a literal Satan. It won't change reality. He is real, but he's been defeated. Praise God. O grave, where is thy victory? He's been defeated. You see, Satan was defeated the day that Jesus died upon the cross. You say, sometimes it doesn't feel like he's been defeated. He's still giving me a lot of trouble. Is he still giving you some problems? Well, the culmination of his defeat awaits. Over yonder in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, almost toward the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 20, there's a passage that needs to be read on this day. You may wonder, well, what does this have to do with Easter and the resurrection? It has everything to do with it. Because it relates to the fact that Jesus Christ came and died upon the cross to defeat the devil. In Revelation chapter 20, the Apostle John says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it. And death and hell gave up the dead which were in them. They were delivered. They were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You say, "Preacher, why do you read that on Easter morning?" It's because Jesus Christ came to conquer death, to pay your price of sin, so you wouldn't have to be there at that day. That's why he came. He didn't come just to make you feel good. He didn't come just so you could have a fun day, a weekend holiday off from work and school. He came to conquer death. Because Jesus Christ died upon the cross, God has now made something certain and fixed. Because Jesus died upon the cross and rose from the grave the third day, let's turn to John chapter 5. To John chapter 5 in your Bible. I want you to see what God has now done and made fixed and certain. In John chapter 5, God's word tells us, verse 26, John chapter 5. "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And then it says, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also." Why? Because he is the Son of Man. Because he came, because he lived, and because he died upon the cross, he now has been given authority to execute all judgment. We like to think of Jesus as it tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should never perish." We like to think about that. But he also, because he came and he died, all authority to execute judgment has been given to him. Read now verse 28. "Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming into which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." You see, because Jesus came and died upon the cross, then God has made it fixed. unchangeable, that he is to be the one who will now sit upon that great white throne we read about a moment ago. Turn over to the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. In the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, we have the Apostle Paul going to Athens, which was the intelligentsia center of the day. It'd be like kind of like going to Boston with all of his high-ranking universities. And there in Athens, the philosophers like to gather and debate the issues of life. And scattered throughout the city were numerous idols and statues to various gods. But they wanted to be sure they worshiped all of them and the right one. So on the way to the place where Paul was to meet the philosophers, called Mars Hill, he passed a statue that said to the unknown God. And so Paul stood there before the philosophers of the day, and Paul said, I passed this statue, and you were worshiping an unknown God. I want to tell you his name. His name is Jesus Christ. And would you pick it up here in Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 28. Speaking of Jesus Christ, Paul said, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also of his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or some graven art, a man's device. Now the times of this ignorance, God has winked at in the past. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day. Read it carefully, verse 31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. So the very fact that Jesus Christ arose from the dead, left the tomb empty, becomes God's standard and measurement of judgment. And now he says to all men, that's the proof, that's the evidence that Jesus Christ is alive. And scripture tells us in the next verse that when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we will hear again of thee this matter another day. And so Paul departed from them, howbeit certain clave unto him and believed. Among them was a man named Dionysius and some others. And so you see, there's some things that are fixed, but there's still some things to be determined. Each person here, because Jesus Christ died upon the cross, and because Jesus Christ conquered death, now there's some things you have to decide. You cannot just pass through the experience and have a good family day. You cannot just simply pass by the experience and say, that was a good time and a good service, and that music was great, and it was. No, now you have to make some decisions. You have to decide. God said to the Athenians through Paul, but now God's winked at it in times past, but now he commands every man to repent. See, I don't want to hear about repentance on Easter. But that's why we have Easter. You get to choose whether you want to be a servant of the victorious Lord Jesus Christ or a servant of Satan. Not only do you get to choose, you have to choose. If you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 8, that each and every event in your life the tumors on Brenda's liver, the cancer in Susie's body, the heart conditions, the chaos in the families, the uncertainty in the economic day, every single situation, the Word of God tells us, for those who love God, every single event works for good. You say, I just have a hard time believing that, preacher. Again, that's God's word. That's God's word. When you give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you choose to become a servant of His, then each and every event in your life will produce good. God says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. God's word quotes the Apostle Paul as saying that I've learned in whatsoever condition I am, whether I have or I don't have, to be content because I can do all things through Christ. You see, the victory of Jesus over the grave is not simply some symbolic event. It is intended for you to invite the victorious Savior into your heart as your God so He can make every event in your life a victory. You have that opportunity and that invitation to do that. You can make your life different. Not by your might and your wisdom and your resources, but by just allowing the living Jesus to live in your life as your Lord. Or you can choose not to. The wages of sin is death. That's what you can have. The death of your spirit, the death of meaning, the death of fulfillment, the death of purpose, the death of peace. Jesus said to those who were listening to Him a clear statement in John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus said to them, ye are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, and every lie comes from him. So every time you tell a lie, you reproduce the devil. And then he said to his disciples, to those listening, I say therefore unto you that if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You have to make a choice. You cannot evade it. Not only do you have to make a choice about how you're going to live, but you have to choose how you're going to die. I don't mean the method, whether you die from an accident or an illness. But you have to decide, because you are going to die, whether you're going to spend eternity with God or eternity apart from God. God will not force you into His heaven. God will not make you spend eternity praising Him. You say, I don't like to go to church. I don't like to praise God. I don't like to do what the Bible tells me. God will not make you do it. But I want to make sure you understand. You will either be in love with Jesus or you will have to spend eternity with the devil. You will either choose while you're here to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will spend eternity in a lake of fire and brimstone being burned and never being burned up. You remember back over there in John chapter 5, we read that there are two kinds of resurrections. There's a resurrection prepares a man for heaven to enjoy all the things of God, but there's also a resurrection unto damnation. You say, someday I'll decide. God's word says, whosoever believes in him is not condemned, but whosoever believes not is condemned already. Right now. You see, the cross and the empty tomb set before us the opportunity to choose. Cross and the empty tomb also set before us the requirement that we choose. We cannot evade it. We cannot put it off. We cannot ignore it. Each one will choose. What's your choice? You want to spend eternity in the devil's hell? You can do that. You say, I don't believe in that. I don't agree. And I tell you, it doesn't matter. You don't change the reality by your disagreement. But you do have to choose. What's your choice? Would you bow your head with me, please? We like Easter. We like to celebrate. We just don't like to deal with the reality of what we have to deal with. But you do have to deal with it. You got to make a choice. Say, preacher, I don't agree with you. That's fine. But if you disagree with God, it could be fatal for eternity. You can disagree with me, and it does not matter. But don't be a fool and disagree with God. So is there somebody here this morning who's never given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? You've never allowed him to come into your life and live his life in you, controlling you, turn the ownership of your life over to Jesus. This morning you can choose to do that. Isn't that great? You can choose to do that. Doesn't matter who you are, he'll come into your heart, into your life, and be your God if you'll give it to him, just like you are right now. While your head is bowed, you can say to him, Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I am. I want you to be my Lord and my God, and I will turn my life over to you and trust you right now. Will you tell him that? He won't leave you that way, but he'll take you that way. And he'll come live inside of you. If you'll do that, in a moment when we stand and sing, you step out into that aisle and you come forward to profess your faith in him. It may be that somebody is here this morning and you've already done that and given your life to him, and he is your Lord. And he's telling you he wants you to become a part of this church family. If he's telling you that, when we stand to sing that hymn of invitation, you pick your foot up and start down that aisle. Make your decision to become a part of the North Oaks Baptist family and serve him here. I'm going to pray briefly, and then we're going to stand and sing. And that is singing is that invitation to you to come publicly to make that decision public. Dear Father, please have your way in somebody's heart this morning. Somebody. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.